and welcome to the Aftershock Central Podcast. Yeah! Travis is here. Lonnie's here. I'm here. Let's talk about some stuff.
What's up? Let's talk stuff.
Let's talk about book announcements. Let's kick off there.
All right. Our friend of the show, Zach Thompson, has a book coming out in April, and it's not an April Fool's joke either. It's called The Replacer, and it's being elevator pitched as a bizarre mashup of It, The Exorcist, and The Diving Bell, and The Butterfly, which I've seen all of those except for The Diving Bell.
I've seen all except The Butterfly.
So, and it's also being billed as a 64 oversized number one?
Yes, but not an OGN.
Right, correct.
It's just an extra length issue, which I want to talk about that real quick, because that seems odd based on the fact that they're doing all these original graphic novels. I mean, this seems like it would fit in pretty well with that.
Well, maybe this is their 64-page giant
for Walmart.
Oh, yeah, that's a mistake. Did you hear me talking about that with Nick?
Uh-uh.
Oh, wait, no, that episode came out today.
I haven't.
Yes, we record far in advance, so I never remember. But I went to Walmart, and I was looking for the 100-page giants to see if there were any new ones. And I found the display case, and I found the books, but in front of all the DC books were, like, stacks of Marvel comics.
Well played.
Yeah. Yeah. Matter of fact, I gotta tweet that picture out. I forgot to do that. Yeah, I was like, what in the hell? And there's all, like, Spider-Verse stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyways.
Well, honestly, this is kinda... Aftershock really hasn't had, like, one-shots, though.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, the OGNs are basically one-shots, I guess, if you wanna do that, but the format's totally different, so... Or annuals, even. We've never had an annual.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. I'm excited for this. I like Zach, and I like his writing. I know you were saying that this looks pretty dark. I agree. It says on the pitch that it's based on a personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I don't think it's, like, the macabre aspect of it. It may not be, like, a true life thing.
Yeah.
But definitely an inspiration
It'd be like
for the story.
Hot lunch special to Elliot, right?
Yeah, there you go. So, I'm excited for this. April 24th.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe we'll get some at C2E2.
Oh, C2E2 exclusive cover.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, we should talk about that, because we're all going. Travis is also going.
Yeah.
I'm going.
Woo! So, find us at C2E2. We'll be there.
Yep, maybe.
Do we know who else from Aftershock is going to be there? Like, creators and employees, or...
Cullen's going to be there.
Nice.
For sure. John Nitz is going to be there.
Yep.
Which he did the one... Dang it. I'm getting old because it just escaped me.
Yeah, now it escaped me too. The really weird book that we liked.
Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Fujitsu.
Yeah. But so far, that's all that I think's been announced. But they're still making announcements, so...
Yeah, it's still early.
Yeah.
It's still early. But it doesn't matter. We'll be there. That's all you need to know.
Yep.
Come on, Travis. Who cares? Ronnie
well,
and I are going to be there.
We'll be at the con at least 2 hours a day.
Yeah.
That's all I'm promising.
Uh-huh.
And the rest will be at the bar, or?
Eh, probably.
Let me check my magic eight ball.
Oh, man. So, yeah.
Probably half of my 2 hours will probably be in Marv Wolfman's line to get the other signature on my Teen Titans book.
There you go. Matter of fact, Nick and I were just talking about what the hell we're going to eat.
It's cheat week, buddy. I can't wait.
I don't know, dude. I get the runs if I cheat.
I know, me too. But that's for a different match as well.
Anyways, that's exciting. New book. When's Oberon's coming out soon too, right? Because they're doing a lot of previews for that.
Yep, I think it's at the end of this month.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That one looks
good. Yeah,
there's
a bunch of new stuff coming, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right, very exciting. Let's talk about some books. We had three fantastic books. Ronnie disagreed with me, but we'll see what he says tonight.
I did.
Didn't you? I thought you did.
Okay. I mean, let's be honest here. I probably did disagree with you, but I just don't remember what now or why.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Okay.
We're going to kick things off talking about Dark Arc number 13, Cullen Bunn and Wando. And this is the issue when we finally make landfall. I mean, I guess we did that last issue, right? But we're kind of getting into the nitty-gritty of landfall in this one. And the monsters are very excited. Shrey and his family maybe not too excited, because now they're wondering what's going to happen with the monsters now that they can roam free. Which was an interesting point, but at the same time, don't they have to wait for Noah's Ark anyway? Because that's where all the food is?
Yes, you would think so. But, I mean, if you're cooped up, wouldn't you want to just go out and explore and at least stretch your legs a little bit?
Yeah, but the monsters are hungry, bro. Monsters gotta eat.
Well, that's true. Yeah. But who's to say that since Noah's Ark's ahead of them, that they haven't already landed on some other part of the island?
Well, and I think that's something that they bring up here, because I can't remember who's talking. It might be Shrey's son. Somebody's talking about Noah's Ark, and he's like, well, what if they just never land here? And yeah. If that's the case, then they're just kind of stuck on this island with all these monsters.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting that they, you know, like, they arguably maybe were there first, but they sent the dove out, then it got, like, shot down. So, you know, is it possible that, like, whoever these guys with the arrows are, they shot the dove so that the monsters arrive first, get wiped out or whatever, and then, like, Noah's Ark could land safely?
Yeah, because if the dove doesn't come back, then Noah's Ark won't know that there's land there anyway.
Yeah. So do we have any guesses as to who these guys are?
You guessed, right?
Did I? Well, I don't remember. I mean, I might have.
I thought you said that they were Atlanteans.
Oh, I did say Atlanteans. I'm sticking with that. That's pretty good. Man,
that's a good answer.
Past Martin's pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know about current Martin, but past Martin.
Current Martin's kind of shady, but yeah.
Current Martin, not so much. yeah, Atlanteans. I still like that. I was trying to think a little bit about this once I read this issue. Because this is, what, the third issue they've showed up in, right? Because they were in that, like, in one panel at the end of 11. I think we saw a little bit of them in that giant building on the island. I'm still liking the Atlantis thing, but I think if that's the case, they may be a little too human. What if these are, like, demons? And the entire, like, point of this flood was not necessarily God's plan, but maybe the devil's plan, or whatever this head demon is that we see popping up in a couple issues in this book. And the only reason I think that is because I read Baby Teeth first, and with some of the twists in that book, I'm like, what if Cullen's doing something similar in Dark Arc as well?
Yeah. Because, I mean, he's already flipping the mythology on its head, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, bibology, I guess. Not mythology, but whatever. You get the point. So, yeah, I can definitely see that too. Or what's some older civilizations, like the Mayans?
Yeah, maybe.
So maybe it's like their demon gods or whatever their version of the devil is.
Yeah. I mean, it's nothing that I recognize. I used to read up a lot on like ancient cultures. So like it doesn't look like Sumerian or Babylonian or anything like that. I don't think it's from that culture. But if it was something else, like, you know, even like Mayan or Native American even doesn't seem that way. I wonder if maybe like some African gods, possibly.
Maybe.
I'm not very familiar with African mythology, so I don't know. But yeah, it could be. I just want to know who these guys are, man. It's been like three issues.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea too, and I'm getting anxious to know, but yeah, I would imagine wherever it is, like, I don't know. Do you think that like Noah's Ark is not going to disembark here, and you know that like so it would align to historically wherever we think that supposedly happened, like the Middle East somewhere.
I think that's probably a fair assumption, right? Because I think everything that Cullen's played around with in terms of the story in this book has been, nothing has been contrary to the Noah's Ark story, right? Because we saw the Ark one time, but we didn't see Noah or anything really on it. And it was just like a one page thing. They've mentioned the Ark a few times, but I mean, it's just a mention, right? Like we don't know anything that's going on in that Ark. And I think I've said this before. I would love to see an arc of this book, in which we see what the hell's happening on that second arc.
Yeah. Cause we haven't seen, and what we thought we knew kind of got flipped up. Remember? Cause we saw the angels.
Yeah.
And they were kind of douche dicks. So
yes, they were.
And I really like it that Kroll has taken the forefront here at the end.
Yeah. Kroll's awesome. And one thing that surprised me was, he tried to protect, what's his wife's name? Like Frey or something like that. Try to protect
like Frey.
Yeah. Frey. Try to protect her and the kid. Cause you know, when the kid was born, he was kind of like, I don't want a kid. Get that thing away from me. I'll eat it.
His cub.
Yeah, his cub.
Yeah.
And now when they're getting attacked,
he's always like, ignored the wife, too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But in this issue, he protects him.
Yeah, and he wants to find the cub, and he wants to understand what their purpose is for killing some and kidnapping some.
So,
and then he wants to make a sport of them.
These guys are like the Thanos of the Ark. Because they just killed half of the monsters.
Yep.
Yeah, but they took others. I mean, could it be like, you know, a trap? You know, are they bait for Shrey?
They took Shrey too.
Oh, did they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they took Shrey and his family.
Oh, okay.
Or half of his family, anyway.
Could be. Maybe that means we'll know who these guys are.
Because the only ones left is like some of the slave humans, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And Janrus?
Yes. Yeah, and that's why Kroll's there, right? Because he's protecting her from the monsters that want to eat her.
Yeah.
Which, I love that scene. That was freaking hilarious to me. Because they're in there, like, plotting to take these guys. It was almost like the Three Stooges in like, monster form.
Yeah, well, because they're goblins, right?
Yeah, so, yeah.
Goblins are never smart, anyway.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to hear a... Nuck, 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 nuck.
Yep, I would love that. All right, anything else on this one?
Final thoughts for me is, like, when you think it's starting to slow down, it just starts ramping back up again.
Yeah.
And somebody else takes center stage.
Yeah, I'm just digging it, man. I think this has been a solid book throughout, so I just want more.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of waiting for them to get to, like, what, you know, I feel like it's getting teased out a little bit, like, what these new guys are, so I'm just hoping we get to that soon. But, mm-hmm. I am enjoying it.
All right, ratings.
4 out of 5 for me.
4 out of 5 for me as well.
Me 3.
Hey! We did it. Let's talk about the next book. This might be my favorite this week, by the way. A Walk Through Hell, number 7. Garth Ennis and Goran Sadzuka. Why do you think that's interesting, Ronnie?
Because these are all three pretty awesome books this week. So I thought it was interesting.
Yes.
Well, it had to be one of them.
It had to be one of them.
Yeah.
Had to be one of them. To me, it just felt like, this is going to make no sense when I say this, but I felt like some of the stuff that's been getting teased for the past 6 was starting to get resolved a little bit in this one. And I know maybe that's the wrong thing to say because we really don't get answers, but like the interaction between the FBI agents and the supposed serial killer, I just love those pages. And maybe part of it is because I just love like weird religious crap. And, mm-hmm. and that's really what that interaction is. Cause he almost explains it like, well, for one, he's like, Jesus is the Antichrist. And I'm here. I killed these kids had the kids killed because, like they're the embodiment of Jesus. So like I'm doing the Lord's work, not Jesus. And of course that's a little incredulous, right? But I like the dichotomy of that relationship that they have and how he's kind of turning things around for him, and kind of making him believe something else, or try to make him believe something else at least. And for me, it worked really well. It was also extremely creepy. Like when Driscoll's going through the warehouse and she's texting, who was it, Goss, I guess? Texting Goss.
Yep, Goss.
And finally ends up getting to where he's at. And he's like, "You're hurting me." And she's like, "What do you mean hurting you?" And then you see like, you know, the blood and the pieces of flesh and the eyes strung up on that, whatever the hell thing that was. That was super creepy. And I really dug that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely creepy. And the art's always fantastic in this book, too.
Mm-hmm. Travis, but what are your thoughts? Oh, go ahead.
So my reading was like different. I'm not sure if I understood exactly, but that scene you were talking about where they're talking to Callahan in the warehouse, I thought what he was implying was, you know, that like this couple, you know, that like was dead in the warehouse, like they did like give birth to a child, and Callahan was there, killed them all so that another like spirit or like the devil or whatever could enter the baby's body. Mm-hmm. And that is what has, you know, like set everything into motion. Like my reading, I thought he was implying that it was like this thing that was in the baby that was like causing all these kids to die that we thought was Callahan, you know? Mm. You know, it was, I have to say, it was definitely kind of like maybe unclear, you know, intentionally, that you don't necessarily know what he's trying to say.
Hmm. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, I haven't thought of that either. That was a different, yeah. Because the last scene we've already seen, right?
Yes.
Because that's the dude that swallows his fist, right?
Yep.
So...
Well, no. That's not the guy that swallows his fist. That's the scene that kicks the book off when they're interrogating Callahan.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Except the lawyer is a little different. And I think that maybe part of the reason why this whole dreamscape is still a little confusing, because they go to that scene and they're like, "Why are we here?" And they're like, "This is where I was interrogated." Like, but the lawyer's here. But he's not there, but he's there, is kind of what Callahan's saying.
And he's saying that it's real because he's there.
Yes. But he doesn't look like himself, right? He looks like he's maybe in shock or something. His skin's like purple.
He said he's trying to swallow his tongue.
Yeah, he's bleeding from the mouth. That whole thing was weird. I don't know where that particular thing is going. And I still don't know how the hell he's doing any of this.
Well, I think he implied, Callahan, that like his lawyer was hurting himself because he knew what was going to happen next. And I guess that refers to, you know, whatever, either it's the interrogation or what happens afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that like that's an interesting setup for the next issue is, you know, they're going to like try to get to the root of like for really what's happening, you know. And maybe he's actually going to answer their question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
Well, you don't sound so convincing since this is your favorite book.
Well, now I'm trying to go through the book without rereading it and trying to figure out, based on the stuff that I read, how much I agree with that. It does make sense, though. That's why I'm a little quiet, trying to figure it out in my head. I might need to reread this again afterwards.
Let me ask you this, if you're still going through the book. What did you guys think about the scene where they're in the car talking about identity politics?
Well, I thought Ronnie's going to love this.
Yeah, it was probably not my favorite part of the comic, I guess.
Why do you ask that, Travis?
Yeah.
I asked because, like you know, I am pretty political, and I don't necessarily mind that being in comics, but I was really straining to find a reason why it's in this story, like in the place that it is, you know. Mm-hmm. It's kind of almost seemed like a non sequitur, and the, like the best that I could come up with was this idea that they talk about, like, all you have is, like, the experience, your own experience and what you bring, what it brings. And that maybe also describes, like, what everybody's hell is like, it's subjective just based on your own personal experience and everyone's different.
Well, also, it felt out of place, like you said, just like we still don't know why we opened up this series with a mass shooting in the mall. Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, like, it's never, 7 issues have went by and we've never really, like, touched on that.
Well, I think they mentioned it once, right? It was, like, issue 3 or 4. Because I think, wasn't one of the guys they're investigating somehow related to the mall shooting?
If so, I don't remember it, but it just...
Yeah, I think, like, he was, like, a witness or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Was the guy that did the shooting. So, okay. It's connected, but, you know, it's not cut and dry.
Out there connected?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why that would be in there. I mean, I'm sure it has to do partially with this place that they're in, but because the place hasn't really been explained, I don't know what the tie-in is. I'm sure we'll get it at some point. I don't know, like, how long this book plans to be coming out. My assumption is as long as it pays for itself, they'll keep putting it out, because it seems like Ennis just likes doing this book. And he's obviously got a lot to say, but, you know, he does it a lot. You know, like all the social commentary that's in this book, right? Like, I don't think it's just social commentary just for the sake of putting it out. I think everything will eventually be tied into the book. We just don't have all the pieces yet. And, you know, it's a little frustrating going 7 issues in and not having the pieces. But for some reason, I don't mind it, man.
Yeah, I like the slow burn part of it. And sometimes when questions get answered, more questions arise.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of old school, slow burn style. And you're right. We don't have all the pieces to the puzzle yet. But at this going rate, it's going to be like a 13,000 piece puzzle.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Maybe.
Yeah, I'm going to agree that, like, I don't know, hopefully it pays off eventually and it'll all make sense, you know, why these kind of flashback diversions to just talking about recent politics. So if it does, then, you know, I'm on board.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. There was a line that I really liked in here. When Christ came the first time, do you think life got any better? Mm-hmm. When Sean, the partner, are kind of demeaning what he's saying. I really like that. I don't know if he's comparing himself to Jesus. Maybe he is a little bit in a way, but I just thought the line was pretty hard hitting.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, especially going to the social commentary, right? Because you have people that are like, oh, back in the day, things were so much better because of this, that, and the other, right? But we all know that's BS, right? You just remember the good stuff. You forgot all the bad crap. So yeah, really interesting, really interesting. All right, let's rate it up.
This also gets a 4 out of 5 on Garth Ennis' birthday.
Oh, is it today?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Happy birthday.
He sounds like Frosty. Happy birthday!
This gets a 5 out of 5 for me. I love this book. And since I'm in this issue, I love it even more.
Oh, here we go.
Hey, does Sean not say, how's Martin? Yes, she does.
Yeah.
So I'm going to reread it. Maybe after I reread it and think about some of the stuff that Travis said, I might give it a 10 out of 5.
Yeah. So wasn't Martin a cheating bastard in this comic?
Well, no, he wasn't, because his name was actually Michael.
Ah, all right.
Yeah. Yeah. You take that back. You shut your mouth.
just checking. Okay. Well, I'll go 4.25 out of 5, with the caveat that, like, it would be higher if I understood the point of like the identity politics discussion.
Mm. Okay, fair enough. To me, I think the experience of the book is more important than the story itself, so that's why I'm rating it higher. Let's go to the final book of the evening, and that is Baby Teeth number 14, Donny Cates, Gary Brown. Travis, you kick this one off, man.
All right. I feel like, you know, this issue, like, I actually, you know, loved it because it seems to me like this maybe flips the entire, like, series, the assumptions we've had on its head, you know, and it's like, okay, you know, actually, it's not the devil's kid, you know, it's God's kid, you know, and like, you know, the devil's not the bad guy. So I'm, you know, been trying to grapple with the implications of that. And you know, I love a surprise. If, you know, if you could take it kind of on its face, you know, it, you know, can go some pretty interesting places.
Okay. So I see where you're going, but let me play, no pun intended, devil's advocate here.
Okay.
Because if the devil is the prince of lies, how do you know that everything that he's telling Heather and everybody else is true?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I tried to qualify with it. You know, if you can take it at face value, then, you know, it's that way. Sure, he's the prince of lies, but I do think it's an interesting point as far as, like, why kick up this fight when, you know, he's got absolute dominion. He's got a pretty good deal already. You know, that's kind of, you know, the logic of some of those, like, Christian theology things, you know, like, I feel like, you know, there's a lot of questions like that about why, you know, why the devil would operate a certain way. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. There's enough of that that I found convincing, I think.
Yeah, and I'm not disagreeing with you. Actually, I do agree with you. And I love this book because I thought the devil is freaking hilarious. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily in the jokes that he makes, but in the way that he acts and reacts to their reactions to what he's doing. Like the whole thing when he's making the cat broth, like I thought that was funny as hell, right? Cause he's like, oh, let's just go back to my place and talk about it over some food. You guys must be hungry. And he's just like grabbing cats off the floor. And like he's just chatting with them and like slitting cat throats or whatever. Like it's gruesome, but seeing it on the page, I thought it was pretty creative and really funny. And there's a whole lot of that, right? So like when they're explaining, oh, like this is your kid. And he's like, what do you mean is my kid? I don't think about that. And what's her name? Sadie. She starts going through the whole story about her mom and this cult and this, that, and the other. And he's like, yep, never heard of her. Yep. No, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, I'm cool here. I love it here. It's my place.
Yeah. I mean, that's the hard part, right? To tell if he's lying or not, because yeah. Everything he says makes sense.
Yes.
Why would you try to take over the world when you already rule a place?
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, you could say that, but if you look throughout history.
Well, yeah.
Right? It's the opposite. And to go to Travis's point, this whole worldview, I guess, was interesting to me because, as you guys know, I love religion. I'm not a religious person, but I love reading about them. This rings very much like, I don't know how familiar you guys are with, like Gnostic Christianity. Yep. But a lot of it was very similar to that, where in Gnostic Christianity, God is the bad guy. There is like a God higher than God, but the God that created the world is an evil God and a jealous God. And that's why he makes people live terrible lives so that they can go to him for support and to feel better about the crappy lives that they live. And I thought that was really interesting because it's not really a point of view that we see a whole lot, at least not in the mainstream. But it goes very much along with what this book is saying. There's even a sect of Gnostics, that like worship the serpent, right? Because the serpent gave people wisdom. So if that's the case, then the serpent's not really a bad guy. He's actually the good guy because he gave people the wisdom to learn right from wrong and this, that, and the other. Whereas God didn't give people that option. I like this whole thing. I've actually been rereading, the Gnostic Bible recently. And it's very thick. I don't recommend it unless you're like a freaking nerd. But, yeah, it was cool.
So, you know, I think one of the things I'm interested, you know, curious about is, why you think if it is God that, you know, like it's causing all this to happen, like what his goals are, why is he doing it all? You know, could it be to like bring about the end times?
I mean, maybe, I mean, I don't know. The ultimate motivation could be in a number of things, right? I mean, if this world is like our world, then people aren't as religious anymore. So maybe bringing about some kind of end times will make people revert back to being religious and worshiping God again. And that's something that God wants, right? Like, that could be one possibility. Or maybe it's kind of like the God in Dark Ark that doesn't really give a crap about people. It's just kind of a big game, and he's just playing his game. And the devil here just doesn't care, right? He's not involved in any of that stuff. He's got his own place to worry about.
Yeah. And there's one thing I really like that you could see people, their perspective changed on what he actually looked like as well.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
And you could tell how badass Heather is because she's like, I don't see nothing but a dark cloud.
Yeah, he's so like, I like you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's fearless and asexual?
Yeah.
Yeah. Asexual equals badass.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the devil that we see most of the issue is the guy that Sadie slept with.
Yeah.
Right? The one that Heather killed.
Yep. The one that picked on her in issue one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that's a really interesting idea because, like, I know there's, like, you know, certain lines of thinking that, you know, like, maybe your fear and attraction are not so far off. Like, they're not so different.
Hmm.
So I wonder if that has anything to do with, like, you know, thematically why that's a thing. You know, he says that to the captain, right? Like, and if, maybe it's just to screw with him, but, you know, he says, like, when he's looking at the, like, disgusting devil with a giant dong, like he's like, are you afraid or maybe you're attracted?
Yeah.
Like, you have to decide which.
Yeah. There's still one comment that I want to make before we wrap this up, and then one question still.
Okay.
The question is, do you think that the demon, what is it, the Tanaki demon? Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Actually talks? Or is that with Heather?
I think he actually talks in this realm, but I don't think he can talk in our realm.
Okay.
Well, he aged a lot, you know?
Like, they both
young. Yeah, but maybe that's why he didn't speak on Earth.
Well, and he's huge now, so maybe he was a baby and now he's an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's possible.
Because I'm just curious if it's one of those her things that she sees and can talk to type thing. Because if the, you know, context is king or perception type thing with the devil, then is that the same thing? But also, final thought part, like, my favorite part is Heather for sure, but I just wish that she wouldn't have gotten as old as they made her out to be.
Yeah.
Because, like we always said, we would have liked to see an offshoot of her adventures in the Red Realm by themselves.
Yeah, I would have liked to see that before we got to this point. Like, I would have. I mean, you could, right? As a flashback, you could still have that.
You could flashback, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I would just like to see that as part of continuity in the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm fine that we didn't get it. It's not like it makes it worse because of that. But yeah, I would love to see that. Because she's obviously a total badass. Cool.
Yeah, I mean, There is maybe a functional, like, difficulty in doing that just because it is such a long period of time, you know? So if you were going to tell that over a course of, you know, a series or something, like, seems like you had to move quickly, or you just focus on, like, one small slice of it.
I would have been good with a small slice of it.
Yeah. Just, like, on a Tuesday.
Yeah. Sadie goes to McDonald's to get a Big Mac, and Heather's fighting demons.
On a Tuesday?
On a Tuesday. On a Tuesday!
Oh, I knew you were going there.
Hey, you said it. You said it. All right, any final thoughts? Are we rating it up?
I'm good.
Cool. Let's rate it up. Travis!
Yeah, I liked it, man. I'm going to go 5 out of 5 Devil Dong Tamos.
That Devil Dong. Woo. Ronnie!
That damn Devil Dong.
is that episode title iTunes safe?
It should be.
All right. I like the alliteration, so we're going with that.
3 books, 3 same scores, 4 out of 5 for me.
And for me, it's a 5 out of 5. I loved it. Oh my. If you, duck, duck, go, damn Devil Dong.
Shame on you.
The first entry is Urban Dictionary, Devil Dick.
So see, yeah, mm-hmm. We can't put Devil Dick as the title, so, you know.
No, we cannot. All right, that's going to wrap up this episode. There are no new books next week, so we'll be taking the week off. We'll be back the week after that. I'm sure there's going to be something fantastic to talk about. You can find us on Twitter, at Rumbo316, at The Great Magnet, at Geekvine, at AftershockPod. Catch you on the next one.